all of you her love. All right. Psalm 119. Let's turn together to it this morning. Psalm 119. Years ago, when I was just getting started in the ministry, I was working in a small church, and I'd work construction during the day and work for the church at night, one of those kinds of things. And so while I was working construction, we were building a three-story office laboratory-type building. It was associated with the University of North Carolina, where they check farming chemicals. They would develop fertilizers and things like that, you know, bug sprays and all that other good stuff. So they had a laboratory. So we were building a new building for them. And being a carpenter on the job, it was our job to prepare the foundation and all of that. But once we got done with that, it was really neat because we got to watch the steel workers come in. And these steel workers came in, and they were climbing all. It was almost like going to the circus, except they didn't have any nets. Okay, and they were up there climbing around on these little I-beams and walking around, and of course, if you can imagine, you know, three floors up, that can hurt you and fall. And so it was quite a dangerous thing. Very little margin of error, because those beams are only, you know, so wide. And then also there was gust of wind that would come through. And so you're walking through there, all of a sudden some wind get on you, you know, and you could find yourself, well, in a bad situation. But these guys were working up there, and I have to be honest with you, I know somebody has to do it. That just doesn't seem like a smart career choice to me. I think I can find a better job to do, but these guys were up there, and the reason I mention that is because in a very real way, each one of us are similar to those steel workers in our life. In a very real way, there is a similarity. You see, each one of us are building a spiritual life, aren't we? We're building a spiritual house. The higher you build, the further you go with the Lord, the more dangerous it becomes, because there are times when the storms of life are going to blow around you, and if we're not careful, it's possible that we can lose our balance. It's possible that we can fall if we get our focus off of where it ought to be focused, you know. And the question that we want to deal with then is how do we maintain our balance? When the storms and the trials and the difficulties begin to blow in our life, and it's really amazing. I wish I could say I was smart enough that I planned it this way, but the lesson this morning, and if you look at the front of your bulletin, the message in the next hour, windy today, stormy tomorrow. It's amazing how these two just kind of go together. But how do we maintain our balance when the storms begin to blow in our life? How do we do that? Well, in this stanza we're going to look at this morning, David is going to show us the secret to that. He's going to show us the secret to it. He's going to show us two things that allowed him to maintain balance in his life when the storms and the trials and the difficulties were swirling all around him. And so let's begin by noticing, first of all, Roman numeral 1, as you follow along on your notes there, David's focus. David's focus. And as we consider the focus of David, there's a couple of things that we want to notice here. First of all, I want you to notice David's focus toward God. His focus toward God. And as we consider David's focus toward God, there are three things that he's going to show us here in these verses that we notice at the beginning of this stanza, beginning in verse number 73. as he speaks of his focus toward God, he's going to mention, first of all, his acknowledgement. He's going to mention his acknowledgement. And the thing that he's going to acknowledge is that the Lord God is his creator. The Lord God is his creator. Notice in verse number 73, David makes this acknowledgement. He said, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. In other words, David understood that not only did the Lord God create him. By the way, we do believe around here, we do believe in the biblical account of creation. I know that there's a lot of people who claim to believe that they somehow evolved from the ape. I've determined I'm not going to argue with them. They know their family history better than I do. So I don't even argue with them anymore. If they want to come from apes, that's their business. But we believe the biblical account that in the beginning, God created. And on day six of that first week, the Bible says that God knelt down in the dust of the ground, formed man from the dust, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what we believe. Made in the image, made in the likeness of God. That's what we believe. And so David acknowledges that. He said, "Thy hands have made me." Thy hands have made me. In other words, David understood that it was the Lord God who had created him. It was the Lord God who had given life to him. But David also understood that not only did God create him, God fashioned him. In other words, God created him with purpose. Created him with a purpose. The Lord God set a purpose for David's existence. The Lord God laid out a course for David's life. And certainly the Apostle Paul understood that very same principle. That's why as Paul was coming to the end of his life, he wrote that final epistle, the book of 2 Timothy. And in that final epistle, as he is anticipating the day of his own departure from this life, he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "I have finished my course." What was he saying? He was simply saying this, "I fulfilled the purpose for which I was created. I have fulfilled the plan that God had for my life. Not only did God create me and give me life, He created me with a purpose." And Paul said, "I finished that purpose. I finished that course." Finished the course. David acknowledges, first of all, his focus toward God. And he speaks of his acknowledgement. But then I want you to also notice David's focus toward God. Not only does he speak of his acknowledgement, he speaks of his desire. He speaks of his desire. In verse number 73, he says, "Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. David realized that he had received his life. He had received his purpose from God. But that's not all. That's not all. David also is acknowledging here that he was totally dependent on God to understand the purpose for which he had been created. In other words, the only way David would be able to understand, the only way he would be able to know the purpose that God had for his life was when God Himself would reveal it to Him. And I want you to notice that understanding of the purpose. How would it come? It would come through the Word of God. It would come through the Word of God. So He says, give me understanding, that I may learn Thy commandments, that I can learn exactly what it is You have for me to do. Give me understanding, so that I might learn that. By the way, the same thing is true with us this morning. It is God who has given us our life, and He is the one who has determined the course. He is the one who has determined the purpose for our life. And by the way, God does have a purpose for your life, and I can guarantee you, though I would not be so bold or arrogant as to think that I know exactly what God's will is for each one of you individually, I can tell you this. God's purpose for your life is more than making a lot of money. And it's more than having a lot of the world's stuff. It's more than that. God has a great plan. God has a great purpose. He's created us for that purpose. And therefore, every wind of affliction that God allows to blow in our life, it's designed for one thing. God allows that wind to come. He allows the storm to come so that it might bring us to the Word of God, so that we might fall in line with the purpose that God has established for us. God doesn't send storms into our lives because He delights in watching us suffer. He doesn't send storms because He delights in seeing us going through hard times. God is not some sadistic ogre sitting up in heaven saying, yeah, watch this. Yeah, oh, I love it. No, that's not God at all. When God sends storms, He does it with a purpose. And the purpose is so that we might be turned from our way to walk in His way, that our purpose might line up with His purpose. And of course, the ultimate purpose, Romans 8, 28, 29. The ultimate purpose is what? That we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose. So David's focus in his life, when the storms begin to blow and the trials begin to come and the difficulties begin to assail us, the way you maintain your balance is by keeping a proper focus, and primarily that is a focus on God. Focusing on God. But then we also see he had another focus in his life, and that was this, letter B. We see his focus toward others. His focus toward others. When we're facing affliction in our life, the usual thing is for us to desire that someone might come alongside and minister to us. We want somebody to come alongside and help us. We want somebody to encourage us during our time of testing. In other words, here's the problem. Many times when we're going through trials and we're going through storms in our life, if we are not careful, it is very easy to get very selfish in our focus. We get very self-centered. We begin to develop the idea, it's all about me. I'm the one having the problem here. I'm the one needing the help here, see. David had a focus that was toward others. Because you see, David understood something that we need to understand as well. That when our focus turns inward, the result is always more misery. It's always more heartache. We become so focused on self that it causes us to begin to feel depressed. Our favorite song becomes gloom, despair, agony on me, deep darkness, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, agony on me. Yeah, that kind of becomes our theme song, because we're all focused inward, you see. We're only focused inward. But David, even during the times of his affliction, when the storms were blowing and the trials were besetting him, even during those times, David was focused on how he could encourage others, and how he could help others, and how he could be a blessing to others. That's why, notice what David said in verse number 74. He said, "They that fear thee will be glad." That means they'll be filled with rejoicing. Those that fear thee are going to be glad when they see you. You know, if you've ever talked to somebody who's totally self-focused, are you glad when you get to talk to them? Are you glad when you see them coming, or do you see them coming and you tell them, try to hide it somewhere? Because you know it's all about them. They're totally self-focused, see? But David said those that love the Lord, they're going to be glad. They're going to be glad when they see me. You know why they were glad to see him? Because David wasn't focused on himself. David wasn't focused on himself. David faced the storms, he faced the trials in his life, yet he had not been moved from his faith in God. He had not been made angry or bitter toward God. And therefore, when he got around other people and he shared his testimony of what God was doing in his life, they were encouraged and they were blessed as he told them what he was going through. Great illustration, I think, of this is seen in the book of Acts chapter 16 in the life of the Apostle Paul during his second missionary journey. During the second missionary journey, you remember Paul and Silas were arrested in the city of Philippi for crime was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and delivering a young lady who was possessed by demons, delivering her from that spiritual bondage that she was in. And as a result of that, they ended up being beaten and cast into prison. And after they were arrested, after they were beaten, after they were locked up in the prison, remember the story, God delivered them. But after they were released, in a miraculous way, the Bible then tells us this. And in Acts chapter 16, verse number 40, the Bible says, "And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren," that is, they, Paul and Barnabas, "when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed." That is not what we would expect, is it? Paul and Silas have been beaten, they've been locked up, they've been put in a prison, they've been treated unjustly, God has delivered them, they come to church, and we would expect the Bible to say, "And all of the church gathered around and comforted them." Oh, poor Paul, poor Barnabas, Silas, you've been so mistreated, and here, let's all have prayer together, and we want to comfort you. Now, what is that? Paul and Silas came in and they actually comforted the church. See, that's the kind of thing David was talking about in our text. They comforted the church. By the way, that's a mark. That's a mark of real spiritual maturity. That's a mark of real spiritual maturity, when we can face the afflictions that come into our lives with a sweet, with a godly attitude that causes the hearts of other believers to be gladdened, to be encouraged, to be strengthened. That's a mark of spiritual maturity I'm afraid many believers will never know about. David was able to do it. And he gives us the secret. Here's how he did it. Look at the last part of verse number 74. He says, "They that fear thee will be glad when they see thee." Now here's the secret to all of that. Here's the secret. "Because I have hoped in thy word." That's the secret to it. That's the secret to it. Because of his hope in the word of God, David was able to say in verse number 75, "I know." That is, I am filled with absolute confidence. "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me." In other words, David was absolutely convinced that whatever the Lord God allowed to come into his life, whatever trial, whatever storm, whatever difficulty that God allowed to come into his life, David said, "I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am absolutely convinced that this storm was fitting and it was proper." It was fitting, it was proper, in fact, it was exactly what I needed. I needed that storm in my life. I needed that. When the winds and when the storms begin to blow in our lives, we're never going to be able to maintain our spiritual stability. We will never be able to maintain our spiritual balance if our heart is not properly focused, first of all, on God, and secondly, on others. But I want you to notice, even David understood that what we're talking about right here, even David understood this is not natural. This is not natural. In fact, it's totally unnatural for us as human beings. And so therefore, I want you to see in the rest of this stanza, and the rest of the verses that we have here, I want to see David's petitions. David's petitions. David's going to show us five things he prayed for that allowed him to maintain a focus on God and a focus on others. There were five petitions that David made. Five things that he prayed for. First of all, notice he prays, letter A, he prayed for comfort. He prayed for comfort. Verse number 76, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort." Huh. Now there's an interesting thing. What do you normally pray for when the storms and the trials and the difficulties begin to blow in your life? Well, what's number one on your prayer list? Well, if your prayer list looks like my prayer list, number one is, "Lord, take away the storm," right? "Lord, get me out of this mess. Deliver me from this difficulty," you know. Usually that's the first thing we pray for. Yet I want you to notice here in our text, David did not pray that his affliction might be taken away. By the way, the reason he did not pray that is because he's already said, remember what he said back in the previous verse, verse 75? He already said God's judgments are right. Right? So why do I want, if it's right, why do I want it taken away? Now David didn't ask that it would be taken away. David did not want God to stop working in his life. Therefore, he prayed that God's merciful kindness might comfort him. that God's merciful kindness might comfort him while he was enduring these afflictions, these storms that God allowed in his life. And notice the basis of the request. Verse number 76, the last part, according to thy word unto thy servant. In other words, David is simply basing this prayer request on something that God had already promised to do. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we get on our knees and when we pray, and we can pray with confidence because we know our God is a loving God. He's a loving Father who mercifully intercedes and intervenes in the lives of His children. But let me tell you, there's even a better way to pray. And that's when you get on your knees and you say, "Dear God, I need you to do this in my life. And God, right here, you promised." That's what David's talking about here. God, you promised. Right here is what it says. This is your word, Lord. This is what you said. Lord, I'm not asking you to do anything unusual. I'm not asking you. Lord, I just want you to do what you said. You promised, and Lord, I'm asking you to fulfill your promise in my life. That's what David was praying for. That's what David was praying for. David simply was reminding God of his promise to be merciful and to be kind and to comfort during the storms of life. Not only do we see David praying for comfort, I want you to notice another thing. David also prayed for mercy. Letter B. He prayed for mercy. In verse number 77, he says this. He says, let thy tender mercy. Notice, not just mercies, but tender mercies. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. Have you ever been through a storm in your life when you felt like that if one more thunderbolt rolled over your head, you would surely die? You ever been there? Yeah. Yeah. We all have. And you haven't been there yet, just hold on. Your storm's coming, okay? I'm the weatherman. It's coming. It's coming. David felt the same way. And that's why he asked for during the days of his affliction, his prayer request was that God might remember mercy. And again, notice this wasn't just something David was throwing out there off the top of his head. Okay? This wasn't something, well, you know, I heard somebody else pray this way and it sounded pretty spiritual. I'm gonna pray that too. No, it wasn't like that at all. Notice David when he makes this request. I want you to notice the basis of his request for mercy. It's clearly stated. Last part of verse number 77. For thy law is my delight. We need to understand, folks, that when we get on our knees and we begin to beg God for His mercy, you better make sure you're walking in obedience to His Word. Think about that. Think about that. It's very hard for a holy God to bless a rebel. If you are rebelling against His Word, better be careful. Better be careful. We ignore the Word of God. When we ignore God's Word in our life, when we determine we're going to do things our way, we're going to follow our thinking, we're going to follow our dreams, our desires, whatever, when we ignore God's Word in our life, please understand we have no right, we have no basis to expect any of God's mercies when the storms of life begin to blow. Truth of the matter is, when we're a rebel against God, that may very well be the reason for the storm. And God will not send mercy to to remove the storm until the heart is broken and made right before Him. See? So David prayed. He prayed for comfort. He prayed for mercy. Let her see. He prayed for vindication. He prayed for vindication. Verse number 78, he said, "Let the proud be ashamed." The word ashamed there, it simply means let them be discredited. Let them be proven liars. Let them be proven to be men who are not speaking that which is true. You remember last time, back in verse 69 and verse 70 in the previous stanza. Remember we saw David talking how that the proud were lying about him. Now he's going to expand on that thought. In verse number 78, he says, "Let the proud be ashamed." Why? "For they have dealt perversely with me without a cause." In other words, he desired that those wicked men might be exposed by God to be nothing more than liars. He wanted those men to be exposed by God. In other words, he wanted God to vindicate him. He wanted God to vindicate him. David did not allow this desire to become the focus of his life, though. Remember, his focus is God and his focus is others. So many times when we're facing storms and those storms come from enemies that are lying about us and they are lining up against us and attacking us unjustly, so many times instead of focusing on God and focusing on others, we focus on our enemies. We focus on our enemies. And so many times people ruin their lives and they ruin their futures by dwelling on their past. Dwelling what happened yesterday. Dwelling on what so-and-so did before. Say, and they ruin their whole future because they're always focused on what happened in the past. But notice the last part of verse 78. David said this, "But I will meditate in thy precepts." Lord, I've got all these enemies out here and they're lying about me and they're spreading things. Lord, you know things that are not true. I'm not guilty of those things, but you know what, God? You deal with them. I'm not going to focus my thinking on them. I'm not going to focus my life on those enemies. Lord, you vindicate me. I'm not going to vindicate myself. You vindicate me. And instead of focusing on those enemies, Lord, here's what I want to do. I want to focus on your word. And I'm going to meditate on your precepts. Wow, what a great way to deal with the enemies that come against us. He prayed for vindication. Letter D, he prayed for relationships. You remember two weeks ago, back in verse number 63, we saw the two qualities that David looked for when choosing companions. Two qualities that he looked for when David was choosing his friends. He chose those who feared God, and he chose those who obeyed God. Those are the qualities that we ought to look for when we are choosing our friends. And that's the same thing that we find again. When David was faced with the storms of life, he wanted to be surrounded with godly friendships. Notice it in verse number 79. "Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies." In other words, when David was going through the storms of his life, instead of running away from church and running away from God's people, David said, "I want to be around God's people. I want to get closer to God's people. I want God's people to be around me, and I want to hear the testimonies of how God has worked in their life so that I will be encouraged to know that same God will work in my life. I want to want to be around God's people. I mean, it's good to be around God's people when everything is going well, but when your life is seems like it's about to fall apart, that's when you really need to be around God's people. He prayed for his relationships. Letter E, he prayed for stability. He prayed for stability. Notice it in verse number 80. Let my heart be sound. That word sound there, it simply means firmly planted. It means to be strongly founded. In other words, unshakable, unmovable. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. In thy statutes. May I remind you that when our hearts are not kept by the Word of God, our hearts will always wander away from God. Are you listening, Christian? If our hearts are not firmly kept by God's Word, our heart will wander away from God. That's why so many Christians make so many tragic mistakes and so many tragic sins in their life. It's because they let their heart wander. Did not keep their heart firmly rooted in the Word of God. That's why Solomon said this. Listen to it. Proverbs 14:14. Wise man made this observation. He said, the backslider, get this, in heart. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You see, backsliding, Christian, starts right here. Right here's where it starts. It starts in the heart. You backslide in heart before anybody else ever knows you're backslidden. God knows, because He knows your heart. And the heart that begins to backslide, the heart that begins to move away from God, the heart that is not firmly rooted and firmly founded on God's Word, that heart will begin to slide away from the Lord, and before long that backslider will be revealed for what he is by his works. But it started in his heart. Started in his heart. That's why when David was faced with the afflictions of life, his prayer was that his heart might stay firmly, soundly rooted in the Word of God. And notice the result of it. Verse number 80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Now here's the result, that I be not ashamed. Oh, how many times people backslide away from God and their life then becomes filled with shame and regret and remorse. And yet David said, you know what? I want to keep my heart firmly grounded in the Word of God, and if I will do that, I will not be ashamed. By the way, neither will you. Neither will you. As we bring this to a close this morning, let me just ask you this. Are you facing some afflictions in your life? Are you in a time of storm? Are you going through a time of trial, a time of testing? If so, let me just ask you two questions. First of all, how is your focus? How is your focus? Number two, how is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? May God help us to understand that God's afflictions, as we've already seen over and over through our study in this book of Psalms, God's afflictions are always for our good. They're always designed for our good. Not for our pleasure, but for our good. And therefore, instead of becoming angry with God or becoming bitter against God, may our Heavenly Father help us to view our times of affliction as actually nothing more than times of opportunity. Opportunity for spiritual growth and opportunity for spiritual ministry. In other words, opportunities to build a spiritual house that will truly honor and glorify our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word.